I love the conversations that we have off the air that we cannot have on the air. And I wish we could bring this onto the air. I'm trying to think of what we can. We can't.
Yeah, no.
Can.
No. Not with him.
Not with me?
No.
You think I'll get myself into trouble?
Yeah.
Or more importantly, get you or Doug into trouble?
Yeah.
Doug, could you just talk into that microphone, please? I want to make sure I have the right one potted up here.
Check 1, 2. Oh, what is this?
Yeah, he's coming through beautifully. Live, Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. Craig Riley just traipsed on by. You always love when you have your teacher looking over your shoulder. I hated that in grade school. Like, we'd be in the computer lab. You'd be typing up a book report or something, and your teacher would stop. And every time, I could be writing, I could be like Tolkien. It could be beautiful words coming out. And I would always stop. You ain't watching what I'm about. I can't write with you looking over my shoulder. I hate that.
Stage fright.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have the same problem when I'm going to the urinal in the bathroom.
That's the one thing, by the way. Hope everybody's doing well.
Hi, Doug.
Hi. Camp started.
Yep.
So everybody's got to be excited. That's the one thing, and maybe it's just because of the athletic background I have, and you probably think the same way. When people would, like, a teacher or a boss, or you have a report due, you get all nervous because you're like, oh, I got to be perfect. I was like, I'm going to do the same work I did if you weren't looking as if you are looking. So if the boss is here, if the boss isn't here, it's the same work. So I never got nervous and was like, oh, all uptight and like, oh.
Oh, I would choke. I would choke. And the rest of the show is going to be bad now with Craig Riley walking around. He was trying to close the door, too. We're like, we're boiling up
it's
in
hot.
Here. And we added an extra
it's
body
hot
to this
in
thing.
Here.
It is.
Speaking of it being hot, it's hot at training camp, Doug. And help me understand this, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2025. How the hell are you missing out on a padded practice? Mike Tomlin talks about how valuable these practices are. You know it's going to rain. I know Mike Tomlin's a creature of habit. I know practice is scheduled for 1:55. How do you not move that thing to noon and get in your first padded practice and shift some of the meetings to later on? I just don't understand it.
The only way, and like you said, though, it defeats my argument, is if it was a pop-up storm.
And that can happen in the summertime.
Yeah, and that can happen. But if you look at the radar and as much is out there with weather and technology, you can say, okay, there's a really good chance that this isn't going to happen, especially with what we're dealing with at St. Vincent's, no indoor practice facility. Let's adjust it and give the public enough warning. Like last night or 5-6 o'clock, hey, chance of showers, we're going to move it up till 10 o'clock. Anybody coming in, adjust accordingly. I think that's the way to do. I don't understand that, and it's baffling, like you said, especially in today's age and technology out there.
Especially when Roman Wilson didn't play last year because he missed all of camp, and that's how important training camp is. And it's your first padded practice. It drives me up a wall.
And you add to the fact with the limitations on practice now and the time you can be on the field. 10 years ago, when you could do 3-a-days, that's all right. We'll make it up at the next 2 days. Or, hey, when the rain stops in the evening, let's just get the practice in there. Now, I mean, they are under lock and key, and players will report you, too. It's not like, oh, yeah, coach, don't worry about it. No.
Sure. Hey, sign us a collective bargaining agreement for a reason.
We were, no doubt.
Man, an hour and a half practice. Is that what we talked about the other day? That's what they had?
Yeah.
An hour and a half on the field. That's nothing. I can't believe that. I can't believe that that's what NFL players are practicing now, only an hour and a half. I mean, back, we were practicing 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Like, it was no holds barred.
I used to have those talks with Tunch and Wolf all the time, and so they would play 6 preseason games, and Chuck would try to win. Like, there was a game famously that they were losing, and Tunch and Wolf were out of the game, and they're like, all right, taking their shoulder pads off, and they're losing, and Chuck Knoll's like, get back in the game.
Yeah,
get back. We need to have a winning culture. And I always thought, man, I love those guys. Man, they sound so old. Doran, you ain't been out of the league that long, and things have changed that dramatically. And it's no wonder, guys, that the quality of play, particularly early in the season. I mean, teams struggle to put the aesthetic football out there on display.
No doubt about it, because like you're saying, you just don't put in the work. Now, the biggest difference, especially even when Tunch was coming in and Wolf, they really didn't have that off season that is as strenuous and as grueling as the offseason they have now. So these guys aren't coming to camp to get into shape. They're in shape. And now the philosophy of coaches, and especially the younger coaches that are coming up, let's get in reps on the field and do coaching off the field. When we were coming up, they would be like, check, 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 run that play again. Do this, do this, do this. So they were doing the coaching on the field, and that's what extended that practice and made it a lot more grueling. So it's being a lot more efficient with your reps, knowing that you can't beat these guys down because their bodies are already in shape and you're just going to wear and tear that something that's already where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Talk about being in shape, Broderick Jones. I mean, he's around 290 pounds, and everybody that's up there that we've talked to says that he looks like he's skinnier. You think that helps a player like him? I mean, we've been talking all week about Broderick Jones, and he hasn't been having a great training camp so far, giving up, you know, busting plays, doing things that, you know, he shouldn't be doing in year three. It's more between the ears for Broderick Jones. But him being, you know, 290 pounds, you think that helps an offensive tackle being more slender and quicker?
Well, it just depends. And to me, is that an indicative of what they told him to do because they want him to be that way because of the style of play they want to play on offense, and especially at that left tackle? They're like, hey, we don't need you to be that big bruiser that's going to be strength and mauling guys and anchoring. We're going to be more of a zone read, so we need to get you athletic, be able to get out in space, get on somebody's edge. Yes, my question is, I heard somebody say, well, he dropped pounds so he could eat during camp. That doesn't make sense to me. It's 90 degrees out there. You're going to be, even for an hour and a half, a guy at 330, he's going to drop probably 10 to 15 pounds, and he's going to be able to eat. You want to maintain your weight.
Yeah.
At camp, instead of needing to try to gain weight. That, to me, is a philosophy that I think I just don't understand. It doesn't compute in my head. But to answer your question, I think if I was there, I'd be asking Arthur Smith, is this something he took on himself, or did you guys tell him because this is the style of play and this will help you play the way we want you to play better? I don't know.
I was once listening to a podcast of the former president of the Miami Marlins, and he said, they would have weekly weigh-ins for the players, right? And not one time, save for Casey McGee, I think it was, did a player ever gain weight during the season.
No.
That's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it just is a strange thing that I've frankly never heard before. Doug, you're 2 years into his career. This would be year three, as Thorne mentioned. You're only four non-padded practices in. And Tomlin said he's going to practice today despite that soft tissue injury. When do you start panicking about Broderick Jones in your position as GM?
I'd say after the last preseason game.
Okay.
The last preseason game he plays.
How much would you play him?
Oh, he's playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting, I think the whole offensive line is getting extended playing time because, again, you have as well as we think Aaron Rodgers is going to play at 41, that offensive line has to step it up and help protect him. So to me, we all talk about the defense. We want to see it. We feel good about it. We're hearing good things about it. Offensively, the key, I think, to the whole team is going to be Aaron Rodgers because, of course, quarterback's the most important position in football, maybe in all the sports. So with 41, you need those guys to play at a high level. And think about it. You have one guy, Frazier, that has played, 17 games and played at a high level consistently. Broderick Jones hasn't, right?
Samalu has been banged up as a Steeler, yeah.
Mason McCormick, yeah. And Faitano was out all last year.
I was panicking whenever we found out Samalu could be out for God knows how long, because you want a veteran next to Broderick Jones as he's now playing his natural position, and you want them to develop that camaraderie, and now you find out he's hurt. And that's what happened to Broderick last year, too. It was the first day of a camp, and then he had that elbow brace on. And now he's dealing with this. So it's the mental stuff. It's the technique stuff, Doran, that you brought up. And now, I mean, this is 2 years in a row where right at the beginning of camp, he gets banged up.
So if you panic, so if your timeline is like, all right, I'll start panicking after the last preseason game that he plays in, and say that, okay, like, you know, this is on our radar now, but he's going to start. He doesn't have a great year. It doesn't transpire into anything good this year. Does that alter your plans for the draft next year in the first round?
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know, yeah, knowing that it's a heavy quarterback draft, everybody thinks they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. Does this alter or change your plans of maybe not drafting a quarterback in the first round?
I wouldn't say not drafting. Okay. I would say this. If wherever they fall, and who knows what's going to happen, we'll just say, we're going to say what, there's five or six quarterbacks out there. If they are in a position where those guys are gone, then that next position is going to be that tackle. Mm. Now, if it's a guy where they sit there and say, all right, let's say quarterback X, they feel he could be the guy, and they're just going to say, well, we have to throw a dart because we need one, but this tackle is for sure, like a long, somebody like that, let's go with that and just don't draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. And that's where you want to make sure the player's ability, talent, and scheme fit is commensurate to where you draft him. Because if he's not, you overdraft, and then what happens when you overdraft? You more likely not get a bust.
Yeah, that guy winds up playing for the Chargers in the Hall of Fame game a couple of years later.
Exactly.
Man, that would be such a disaster.
Yep.
Because if that's not the case, then you're going out and you're paying a guy in free agency. And Dan Moore's are getting $83 million.
But then what I would say is, okay, why did he bust? What did we not see, or what did we not do? And the only thing I can see is he started 8 games, and he was a hell of a talent, but he wasn't a hell of a football player. Where did we overvalue the talent, or did we not develop the talent, or was it a combination? So they got to start looking internal on some of these guys, on a lot of these guys, because I've this 4th week in a row, the player development aspect of the Steelers, to me, is why you have a Jalen Ramsey, a Darius Slay, a Aaron Rodgers, 30-plus guys that you're sitting there saying, oh, this is great. They're great names, and they were great, and we hope they can be great. But after that, they're going to be here for a year or two. Where are the Steelers? Hayward's 30-plus. T.J. Watt's 30-plus. I mean, Patrick Queen's about to be 30. I mean, where's your foundation here?
Right.
Where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it every year you're just going to go out and get these name guys and sign them, and everybody's going to be happy for a year and be like, well, we're just going to focus on this year, not next year?
We were talking about Pat Meyer yesterday. Doran made a really good point, because I said, I mean, what's this guy doing? But Zach Frazier played well. I mean, they believe in Troy Faltanu. Now, Dotson goes off, and he plays a lot better elsewhere, but they've had some success stories here than they've had guys that haven't worked out. First practice in pads today. We'll see what Broderick Jones looks like before we go completely into panic mode. But Doran brought something up yesterday that I think we should run by you, and we'll do that coming up next, relating to Broderick Jones in the left tackle position. You can text us. You got a question for Doug, we'd love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can also tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Texture writes in 412-928-9370. Troy Faltanu, who didn't look great last year before he got hurt, I'm worried about him also. What are you talking about? He didn't play enough. He played one game against Denver.
Right.
Like, get the hell out of here. No offense. Thank you for listening, Fuzz. You text all the time. You're very well informed. I know they're excited about Faltanu.
Mm-hmm.
And so Doran asked yesterday, or you stated yesterday, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Feel free to correct me at any point during this sentence. Like, if Broderick stinks and he continues to stink, and Faltanu is clearly the superior tackle, I know that they've been throwing Broderick around and yo-yoing him, but do you consider moving Faltanu to left tackle?
That's a who's your backup left, I guess. Are you a better offensive line with having Faltanu at his natural position at right and a lesser left tackle? Dylan Cook or Faltanu at left tackle that I don't know if he's ever played college. There in college?
Yep.
Okay. All right, if he played in college, I thought he was a right tackle. Yeah, I'd move him over. Yeah. Give him a shot. Absolutely.
Would you think about this scenario outside of that? Those two, of is it about protect? What protects Aaron Rodgers the most? Which side? Would you think of it that way? Like, where do we need our most protection at for a 41-year-old quarterback?
Oh, Yeah, absolutely. And I would actually take it even a step further, looking at every team we play and who is the most impactful rusher and which side it is, or the majority of them. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be coming off as a left tackle and he's protecting that, or is it the right tackle? That's where you'd have to start diving deep into that. And again, these are the things you have to do when you miss on a first-round pick. You got to start putting things together and fixing a jigsaw puzzle.
This is where the Steelers trying to win the Super Bowl, quote unquote, every year can hurt them. Like,
I disagree that they're trying to win the Super Bowl.
No, what I mean by that is with Broderick as a rookie, I had no problem with them waiting to play him, I guess.
I see what you're saying.
But then, let's play him at right tackle because we got Dan Moore Jr. on the left. You got to see the forest through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need this guy to develop. Play him where he's comfortable. Play him there a ton because he's a project coming out of Georgia and see if it bears fruit. But now they're juggling him left and right. Now it's year three, and you still don't know if he could be a left tackle.
And this is why I say I disagree. And I agree with you, but what I think the Steelers and what they've shown through their moves and everything is they're not trying to win the Super Bowl every year. They're just trying to be competitive. And even when Art comes out and say, I will never come out and say making the playoffs is a bad year, that lets you know exactly what they're trying mm-hmm. to do every year. And if they were trying to win the Super Bowl, you would have a foundation where we look at like, hey, maybe not this year, but another year with some service time of these guys, they're going to be hitting on all cylinders, and we're going to be able to compete with the Baltimores, the Buffaloes, and the Kansas Cities. Next year, can you say that? Can't even say it this year.
No.
Mm-mm.
What's that? What's in the pipeline that you can say, man, this dude, give him one more year. I think he's going to. Well, as a team.
Well, maybe the offensive line.
Maybe. And after we just talked about Broderick Jones, we may be panicking.
But I mean, Zach Frazier, McCormick, you know, and Altanu, maybe the offensive line.
All right.
You just signed TJ to an extension.
But he's got two, maybe 3 years.
2 years. I don't.
DB wise, Porter, you hope he takes that.
Huge year
safety
for him.
Safety wise,
too.
No. Maybe the linebacker room. D-line, we'll see. Harmon, we'll see what Harmon can do. All right, you got Harmon. All right, let's pie in the sky, Rosie.
Yeah.
Harmon on D-line, great. Outside linebacker, you better do it in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
Unless you draft somebody. Inside linebacker, you got Wilson and Queen. All right. DB-wise, Porter. So that's four guys on the defense. Frazier on the offense. Hopefully, Faletanu, he's still got to do it.
Maybe McCormick, but it was a huge body of work last year.
And Faletanu, remember, he did have knee issues coming out.
He did.
Right. And then Broderick, we're already
panicking. And that's why they got Wilson, too, at middle linebacker. Yeah. He fell because he was oft hurt.
And Darnell.
You got DK Metcalf, and anybody that plays at spades is Faletanu a possibility, Rodgers a possibility, Frazier, yes, and then possibility with Caleb Johnson and Jalen Warren. So you're talking about seven guys, core guys.
And like half of them haven't played yet.
Yes, they're possibilities. And guess what? The most important position that keeps you competitive for a championship, you're banging on a 41-year-old or a six-rounder in Howard.
Or a young first-rounder next year.
Mm.
Is there any possible scenario where Rodgers would be your stopgap next year?
It sounds like it's up to him. I mean, I'm sure they would. And if he plays well, absolutely. But again, where are you going after that?
What does plays well look like? Like they got to win a playoff game? Is it just about the eye test, some of the statistics?
I think it all comes down to him. Does he feel like he's playing well? Because from everything he said, this is my last go around. Now, if he comes back and says, hey, I left enough out on the table, but I see where this organization is going and the foundation they have. Maybe the offensive line clicks. I got offensive line, Jalen Warren, Caleb Johnson. Man, boom. DK Metcalf, they have a nice connection. Some number two or the combination of tight end receivers that clicks. Let me run it back. Maybe they win that first playoff game and get beaten the last second to Buffalo in divisional round or championship, whatever. Then he might say, let's come. All right, let's do that. And then you, then that's probably the best situation because you can draft that.
You still would draft a quarterback?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Because okay. Now you've got a love situation where he's going to at least have 1 year behind one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the position. That's coming out. And he's not going to be threatened because this is – he. Even if he goes another year after that, he knows his time is short. So now he can just disperse all that information to that young guy and not have that guy get thrown into the mix. That's the best situation right
that
now.
That would probably be the ideal.
Yeah. And you know that he's gonna be like, all right, 10 mil again.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't expect Aaron Rodgers, if he has a pretty good year, to come back and try to hit him over the head for like 40 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like, yeah, like just give me the same contract.
No. And you'd have a better understanding of your cap situation because theoretically, in this hypothetical, you would know earlier on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Unless it was a Favre kind of deal where he.
So that is the pie in the sky ending to this season where I would say, okay, they are starting that offensive line is starting to build a foundation and draft that quarterback with Rodgers mentoring for a year, then I'm feeling a lot better. Then I'm saying, okay, let's do it. Even though I'm still skeptical in their player development.
Yeah, hard not to be. Trey Hendrickson is reporting to Bengals camp today. I want to get into that because it looks like ownership wins that one. In Pittsburgh, I feel like they struck the happy medium. They didn't give Watt a handful of years. They gave him three. They did pay out the nose guaranteed money, $108 million. Could the Steelers have played things the same way with Watt? What would that have looked like? We can get into that and more. Texter writes in, is D-bag Dom working again today? Can't stand that guy. Man, Dom has made quite the impact for as little airtime as he's had.
Yeah, yeah.
We get half a dozen texts every day talking about intern Dom. All right, another half hour with Doug Whaley on the way next. Live from Bowser Chevrolet Studio B in Monroeville. All right, we got to bring this on to the air. That was good. So Jackson Dart, I heard the clip with Pat Boyle this morning on the Infinity Sports Network. Jackson Dart says, finally now, things are slowing down in practice for him. And I bring that up to you guys adoringly. Practice is, okay, that's one thing. You put the pads on, you started walking through it. Man, it's about to get a lot faster for Jackson Dart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, practice is one thing. And then, well, OTAs is one thing because you're coming off. Like, you haven't played football in a while. You played college football. That's your last football you played. Then you're in OTAs. You're like, wow, this is moving fast, and you're just in shorts. And then you go to training camp, and you're just in shorts. You're like, wow, this is fast. Okay, now it's starting to slow down after the heat acclimation period. Then you put the pads on. Moves even faster. Then you go to preseason games. Moves faster. Then you start to get a little bit used to the preseason games because you have a couple of them. Like, okay, I got it. Then regular season, it's like night and day.
Oh, man.
And then if you have a chance to go to the playoffs, playoffs probably is the biggest adjustment for NFL players because the game is moving so fast. So fast, even faster than anything put together that you've experienced.
And anybody that's ever been around it, and like Dorn says, when you get in a playoff game, just the atmosphere, and then you step on it, it's even for professionals that play and scout and everything, you notice it takes a ratchets another level. Dorn, here I always tell people this, and you need to explain it to the listening public. They talk about the rookie wall, and when you think about it, when you were your last year, you started training for that. You had spring ball, you had summer. You go through all the year. Right after the year, your football year is done, what, you start training for the combine?
Yes, or all-star game.
All-star game.
Then combine.
Combine, pro day. Then not only the physical element, what about the mental, about where am I going? Then you go through the draft. You get drafted. Now you got to say, okay, now not only do I got to go to this team, I got to learn the playbook, learn where to live, where to go, learn the facility, then start saying every day rent's due. You got OTAs. Now you have maybe 3 or 4 weeks off in the summer, and then you're going to the practice. And then those 3 or 4 weeks in the summer, you're in the books trying to figure out this offense, defense, and still staying in shape. So you're talking about close to 18 to 20 months of not only physical but the mental grind. And that's why guys hit that rookie wall. It's not the longer season, because now college season is about as long as a pro season.
Oh, a lot of these guys in the playoff, yeah.
Absolutely. But the mental and physical grind for 20-some months at the highest level, knowing that every day if you don't perform, you could get cut, the mental is almost as grueling as the physical.
That's why it is so damn impressive of what Jaden Daniels did this year.
Yes.
This past year. Like, think about what he just, what Doug just said. That whole grind, and Jaden Daniels is like, I mean, what? Jaden Daniels, you know, was a Heisman.
He won.
He won the Heisman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy was playing at a high level in college, goes through the whole entire process, and just is just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Goes to the NFC Championship. Like, you know, I mean, that's very, very impressive what he did. And that's why we never seen a rookie win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And Doug, you, during the break, you said, man, they you bring in all these old guys, and what's been the common theme of these last few years for the Steelers? It's that they have not peaked at the right time. They've actually played their worst football down the stretch. Now, a couple of years ago with Rudolph, they did win those final games, but they were really not good leading up to that. Schedule also aided them in their efforts there. You start talking about the rookie wall. Think about the guys they're counting on this year. And Caleb Johnson going to help the running game. Derek Harmon's he's a starter. He has to be. They don't have the depth behind him. They're counting on him. And some other young guys, too. And then on the other side, you've got the old guys.
Right.
It's not a mystery why they faded down the stretch. And you look at the schedule this year, Buffalo, Baltimore, Miami, Detroit, Cleveland, Baltimore, and that's at Cleveland. Old guys, rookie wall, you better make hay early in the season in that schedule if he wants to get in.
And this is a message to your boy Mark Caballi. Ask Tomlin this. Because he's always preached, you need to be playing your best ball in December and January. They haven't, except that 1 year with Mason, and it showed when they got in the playoffs that they weren't worthy. When you have these rookies and these elderly vet guys, what are you going to do different to get them to be peaking at the right time? Because as you say, Coach T, doing the same thing and expecting a different result is insanity. So you're obviously not going to do the same thing. What are you changing in this year's approach to be able to get them to be peaking when they need to be peaking?
That's why you see the same teams in the last 5 years really make it to the Super Bowl. That's why they're so good. That's why they're, you know, the Patrick Mahomes and the Philadelphia Eagles and the Travis Kelce's and the Chiefs are so good, is they know when to peak.
Yes.
I mean, both teams start off very slow every year, and on ESPN, we all question.
Yeah. Yep.
We all, exactly. Patrick Mahomes isn't what he was before. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles want to fire Nick Sirianni. We hear that every year. Mm-hmm. But then there's a moment in that season around the end of October when it's like, uh-oh.
Man, you're so right.
That's how the good teams play.
And to equate it to locally, the Pens back in the day. December, January.
March of the Penguins. Oh,
no.
Then that's whenever you know you have a good team, though.
They flip that
players.
Switch and like, all right, fellas, it's time to go.
Yes.
Let's go.
And I think about the Patriots, too, in the heyday with Brady and Belichick. And, Doran, you were there. And every year, first take, October 10th, is this the year the Patriots dynasty's over? Are they done?
Yep.
And then, bang, eight in a row. Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of look at it like this. You know, the very good teams and the very good players, they know how to turn it on when at the right moments. But the coaching staffs and the players, they have to meld together, because usually whenever they take that transition and they do start playing well is after they've seen enough film. They've seen – they've played – you know, their division already.
Yes.
Once. Now you're going through it again? Oh, no, no, no. No, no. We're too good. We know exactly what you're going to do. We know how to counter to it, and we know how to, you know, to make this thing go at the right time. That's usually whenever it happens.
Yeah, especially if they had success with against them in the first game.
Right.
Like, oh, you're going to think we're going to let you do that again? Go ahead. Plan it that way. We got you.
Oh, look at the Ravens-Steelers game in the playoffs.
Yes.
The Steelers, the way that they had defended Lamar throughout his career, we're going to hit Lamar no matter what. No matter what. Playoff game. We're going after Henry. Whoops.
Yep.
It was like one of those, you think I'm going to do this?
Yes.
I think. So we'll do the other thing? No, it didn't work. Didn't work. The
you
Ravens
know that
were
I know that you know that I know.
Thank you.
Know.
That's what I was trying to say. But I'm an idiot. And a loser. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. That was good, gentlemen. Coming up next, Trey Hendrickson back with the Bengals. Did the Steelers approach things incorrectly with TJ Watt? We'll get Doug's thought on that. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Craig Riley just popped in here and said that a video from camp of Will Howard is doing more numbers than any other camp video or photo that we've pumped out on our 93.7 The Fan social media pages. Ben Tenuta does a great job. They're all artistic. He makes everyone look good. Will Howard.
Amazing.
Good for him.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's good for the Steelers.
What do you think it is? Is it because he said in his, like, interview whenever he got drafted by the Steelers, like, at his house when he put the hat on, he was like, I've always wanted to be a Steeler, love the Steelers. I think that people just kind of laugh
yes.
at that.
He has nailed it every step of the way. You win a national championship, and there's Ohio State fans around here. We saw him at the softball game mm-hmm. coming for Jack Sawyer, who also did a great job. He signed a million autographs. Mm-hmm. I wound up respecting him a lot coming away from that, but that's neither here nor there. Wins national championship. Put the microphone in front of his face. He says that right thing right then and there. He has really been effusive in his praise of the Steelers every chance he's had. Then Rodgers comes out and says he thinks he's going to have a long, productive career in this league. And we've also been starved for good quarterback play for half a decade now.
I guess my question would be, if he stayed at Kansas State and took them to, let's say, the CFP, like Arizona State, they flipped Arizona State and Kansas State. Is the affinity for him as high?
Probably not.
Or is it because it's Ohio State?
I think it's because of Ohio State.
Yeah.
In national championship. Why do you think he fell in the draft?
When I did him, I liked him with his poise and his placement, just his overall ability to run a pro offense. He's got to learn, and he's going to have some growing pains. But the thing that I do like about him that he didn't really show at Ohio State, that he showed at Kansas State, was his ability to use his legs and run. So he's got a nice combination there. Can he elevate the overall macro of a professional passing game? That's the question.
You ready for a hot take?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the affinity might have been different because he wouldn't win a national championship or whatever, but I wonder if he takes Kansas State to the playoffs if he's drafted higher. Because they didn't have the same level of talent there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if that might have been the case. Now, it hasn't stopped other Ohio State quarterbacks from getting drafted early.
Right.
I mean, Fields first round. I mean, the list goes on there. I just wonder, like, if the folklore around him would have been advanced even more because he would have been viewed as the guy who got them there, whereas at Ohio State, he was just a piece to the puzzle, if that makes sense.
And he just made sure he got it to the right people. Because when you looked at, and this is why when I say overall passing game, when you look at him on film, he made the right throw and put it in the right place, but the guy he's throwing it to was breaking ankles.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, all right, one-on-one, this guy's going, breaking it. It wasn't like read one to two mm-hmm. to outlet or, hey, here's a mesh concept. I'm going to know that this corner is going to sit, so I'm going to hit the seven routes. Stuff like that. You didn't see that, but he could put the ball where it needed to be.
I don't know what his path is to becoming the guy here.
Like, injuries.
That would have to be. That's what happened with Ben. Mm-hmm. I mean, I almost said Bradshaw. My God.
Man.
Batch was the two, and so Maddox and Batch get hurt. It's not that funny, Doug. Jeez.
I'm just thinking. No, go ahead. Sorry.
So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
If Rodgers went down for the season, I know I'd be tempted to play Will Howard. I think they would play Mason until they were, like, mathematically eliminated. Mm-hmm. But you're not winning the Super Bowl with Mason. So if you found it week five, and knock on wood, you don't want this to happen, but Rodgers goes down for the entire year, you know he's out for the year, I'd be tempted like hell to play Howard. Get a look.
To me, that's when you start the building the foundation. Because now you're starting to see, okay, that O-line may be starting to work, and they're working with Will Howard. And then your receivers, and if this guy is the guy, all right, you got something. If he's not, okay. You know what Mason is. You can always go back to Mason.
Yeah.
Would you still draft a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
That was the scenario?
Yeah.
Will Howard, what if he goes out there and plays well?
Yes.
Yes.
Because guess what? Now you have a tradable asset.
Yep.
And I said that before. I would have kept Justin Fields and drafted Caleb Williams. I mean, Williams. What's his name?
You got it. Caleb Williams.
Yeah. I'm thinking Caleb Johnson. That's why I got screwed up.
Good. Wait.
See, I got you. But if you look at first round quarterbacks, it's about a 50% or lower hit rate. If you have two of them, one of them is going to hit. And guess what? Another one doesn't hit. You can still trade them and get some pieces back, especially if they have a good preseason. So if Justin Fields would have had a great preseason, they said, all right, let's go with Caleb Williams. His trade value would have been much higher than what they traded him for, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and guess what? If not, you have two quarterbacks and a lot. You need two quarterbacks these days. I just
you convinced me that I think that's a pretty good argument there, Doran. You're going to have to if Will Howard would pull a Dak Prescott and, oh, he's a fourth-round pick, he's a sixth-round pick, all of a sudden, wow, they're winning a lot of games. Will Howard, you would have to tie me up.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to gag me.
Yep.
I'd be losing my mind.
Yep, I know.
Ben 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. But
everybody.
I think
everybody. Not just you.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Just
this whole entire town.
Right.
And would you draft one if Will came out and played like Dak?
Not if Aaron Rodgers ended up coming back. Say he had like a soft tissue injury and was out, and then Will Howard and Mason, something happened to Mason, and then Will Howard came in, played well, but Aaron Rodgers was playing well before he got hurt and wants to come back. If he wants to come back, I'm paying Aaron Rodgers. I'm gonna have Will Howard. And I'm going to draft a receiver or a tackle.
Wow.
Yeah, now if Aaron Rodgers comes back, then yes. But if Aaron's like, I'm out, yeah, I'm getting two. Because think about it. If it's, all right, let's say he comes in week six. He's got 11 games. That next year, that's when people are like, all right, let's study this dude. What's he going to do? Can he maintain it? Like a Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be able to make a team? Or is he going to be C.J. Stroud?
Right.
So I'd rather have that security, again, knowing that if he ends up being that guy, you got a tradable asset that you can maybe even trade for more than what you spent on him.
August 9th is when Will Howard takes the reins as a Steelers franchise quarterback, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Preseason game number one. Yeah, preseason game one. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hot today, high of 92. Dulac just tweeted out a picture. Training camp 4 hours away. The line is incredible because now today's the first day in pads and Pat McAfee's there.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like one road in and out. So stay hydrated, folks. Going to be a long one if you're going to St. Vincent to watch practice today. Thank you, Doug.
Appreciate it, fellas.